Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. Mark Lavillier, your host for an hour of science fiction. Later on, exploring tomorrow from 1958. But first, an episode of The Mysterious Traveler, one of the last surviving from this series that was very successful on the Mutual Broadcasting System from April 29th of that year. It's Murder in 2952.
Transcribed. The Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Mysterious Traveler, written, produced, and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Coogan, starring one of radio's foremost actors, Cliff Carpenter, in Murder in 2952.
This is the Mysterious Traveler inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as we leap 1,000 years into the future to see how the forces of crime and detection may operate then. It's a story I call Murder in 2952. The date, the year 2952. Mankind has colonized the planets Venus and Mars and is mining uranium on Mercury while making trips of exploration to the more inhospitable celestial bodies, Saturn, Neptune, and the moons of Jupiter. But still, life is not so different from life today. There are still men and women, which means love, jealousy, hatred. And there are still crimes and criminals, which means a police force. People still live in houses, even though they're very different from the ones we know. In the living room of one of these houses, a young woman is playing an ancient tune on an ancient musical instrument to an appreciative audience of one, John Mallowan, a field researcher for the World Biological Institute.
How did you like it?
I liked it very much, Trina. But I never heard it before. What in the world is it? It's so different from the music I'm used to.
Well, it's at least 1,000 years old. Maybe older. I found this score in the musical section of the Library of Congress.
You play it very well.
Oh, I'm glad you think so. I hope Randy will like it.
Randy Morgan? He doesn't go in much for music, does he?
Well, Randy doesn't go in for music at all. I wish he did. But it's just because he's never been exposed to it. He'll learn to like it yet.
Any man would if you played it for him. I wish I could be here for the music competition. Nobody else will have anything like that 1,000-year-old tune of yours. What's it called?
Liebetraum. In one of the old languages, that's supposed to mean love's dream.
Well, if Randy doesn't appreciate it, I'll personally blast him down. He'll be at the competition to hear you play one.
Oh, yes. He's promised, even though he hates music.
Hmm.
I do wish he enjoyed something besides catching criminals.
Well, that's his job. After all, he's the lieutenant of the World Police in the Planetary Division.
Yes, I know, but if only he didn't seem to enjoy it so much. Catching murderers and space pirates. And... well, I'm being silly. He's nice.
Sure he is. Also very handsome.
Yes, he is, isn't he?
Well, John, it'll be much longer. Time's getting short.
Yes, Dad, he's waiting for you.
I'll be right in, sir. Guess I've got to say goodbye for a few months.
I'll miss you, John. We always had so much fun. Do be careful, won't you? Ganymede is supposed to be such a horrible spot.
I'll be careful. You know, there's a very rare plant growing there. It may do something for the one disease we can't cure. Old age. Well, give my best to Randy when you see him.
So you're off to Ganymede, eh, John? Leaving the field clear for Lieutenant Randolph Morgan to marry my daughter.
Well, I guess that's how it is, Professor Fergus. She's in love with him.
He's in love with an illusion, John. Illusion 6 feet tall, broad-shouldered, beautiful teeth. An illusion that can dance the Venusian jump perfectly. She thinks the illusion is a man.
It's a very convincing illusion, Professor Fergus. Randy Morgan is everything that I'm not. I can't blame Trina for preferring him.
Yes, you're a cerebratonic type. Intelligent, skinny, stoop-shouldered, nearsighted, and twice the man Randy Morgan is.
Well, thank you, Professor, but I don't think you're being quite fair to Randy. After all,
I know all about Morgan, John. I tell Trina, but women are one thing that haven't changed in the last 1,000 years. When they think they're in love, the devil himself can't convince them that they're wrong about a man.
Well, I hope she's not wrong, sir. If I thought there was a chance for me, but I know there's not.
I'm not so sure. What if Morgan were out of the way?
What do you mean, sir?
I've been quietly investigating. I have some facts that would get him dismissed from the service, maybe jailed. For one thing, he's a dream apple addict.
Randy eats Martian dream apples? Oh, that can't be, sir. Why, those things are worse than heroin or cocaine.
I have the proof. So, John, Randy Morgan may be removed from the scene after all.
Professor Fergus.
Yes, John?
Take my word for it. You'll just make Trina hate you. She'll believe all the evidence was framed.
Framed?
It's an old word meaning falsified. She's in love. You yourself said a woman in love can believe no wrong about a man.
Nevertheless, I'm going to the authorities. So, John, if you could possibly stay on Earth for a few weeks.
I wish I could. But the harvest season on Ganymede won't wait. I have to blast off tonight. Goodbye, sir. I'll be back as soon as I possibly can.
...39,308 meters per second. Let's see, add to that a trajectory of theta over 3... ...and a force field curve... Of the...
Professor Fergus?
John, you've come back, but why? No. No!
This is my final transcribed report on my 47th day in the Ganymedean jungle. I'm almost ready to blast off, but an hour ago, a small police rocket sat down in the dense jungle about half a mile away. And now I see a man approaching. He seems familiar. He looks like... Why, it's Randy Morgan!
John! John Mellowan!
Randy! So it is you! Well, what the devil are you doing here?
Tell you in a moment.
Well, John, so this is your hideout.
My hideout? What do you mean?
It's a very clever old man. It's taken me 5 weeks to track you down in this planetary jungle.
What do you mean, track me down? I'm here on an official mission.
That's what I mean by very clever. It gave you the perfect excuse for hiding in a rotten jungle.
Randy, are you woggy? I'm not hiding.
Oh, no. Most murderers do hide, you know.
Murderers? Oh, now listen, Randy.
You listen. I'm officially placing you under arrest for the murder of Professor Fergus just before you blasted off from Earth.
Professor Fergus murdered? If this is some kind of a joke...
This stun gun is no joke. Make a move to resist and I'll paralyze you.
You're crazy.
So you are a dream apple addict.
I warned you. All right, John, you can see and hear, but you can't move. I'm bringing my patrol rocket over here and loading you on board. You're going back to Earth with me in chains. And I rather think that you'll wind up in the old-fashioned gas chamber for committing willful murder.
As if I had a toothache at every muscle in my body.
Coming out of it, are you? Those are muscle cramps from the stun gun paralysis, John, in case you've never had them before.
Oh, I never have. I suppose you felt them out often, no?
A few hundred times, that's all. Here's something to make you forget your troubles. Catch.
What is it?
Just a little fresh fruit. Make you feel better.
Fresh fruit? It's 1 pound of dynamite. This is a Martian dream apple.
So what? It'll take away your ache, make you feel like a million credits. Here, I'm having one, see? Wouldn't harm a baby.
So Professor Fergus was right. You are an addict.
Oh, Fergus was in his second childhood. By the way, what was your motive for killing him?
For killing him? Randy, what is this all about? Is Professor Fergus really dead?
You should know. You bashed in his head with a rocket control lever from your own rocket.
That's nonsense. He was fine when I left him. Now, what happened?
Keep it up, John. It's a good impersonation of innocence. But all the same, that chain around your ankle doesn't get unlocked until we blast in on Earth.
Very ingenious way to keep me confined. I can't quite reach you. Or the rocket control board. But I still have some freedom. Now I can see this chain won't come off. All right. I'm not going to make any fuss. Now tell me what happened.
Well, half an hour after you went into her father's library, Trina heard a groan and a fall. She hurried in, and there was the poor old boy dead on the floor. She ran to the front door screaming for help, and I was just coming up the walk. I had a date to see her, fortunately. And I took charge of the case.
I can just see it. Amazing how you just happened to be there.
Very lucky, wasn't it? Well, Fergus was dead. But I had some of our technical crew bring over our finest instruments. With the atomic pressure recorder, we analyzed the stresses still present in the molecules of the air in the room. And we were able to reconstruct Fergus's last words before he died.
And what were they?
I took off a recording and brought it along so you'd see that your case was hopeless. Here, I'll play it for you.
Hey, John, you came back? But why? No!
There you have it, John. Testamentary evidence by the victim himself to your guilt.
How did you fool him, Randy? How did you make him think it was I?
Well, John, I don't know what you mean.
You go in for amateur theatricals. It gives you a chance to show off that handsome physique. Easy for you to imitate my voice well enough to fool a deaf old man.
A pretty weak defense, John. You'll really have to do better than that.
He did have evidence that would get you court-martialed, so you killed him. And being a world police officer, it was easy enough to falsify the evidence to make me look guilty. Especially since you assumed charge of the case.
A world police officer falsify evidence? Why, John, you know we are absolutely incorruptible.
Until you start using dream apples. After that, the ordinary rules don't apply. Dream apples remove all moral sense, give delusions of grandeur, and eventually cause hopeless insanity.
They're perfectly harmless, as you'll see when you eat that one I gave you.
I'll never eat it, Randy.
I think you will. It's a 3-week trip back to Earth, and you're getting nothing else to eat or drink. By the time we blast in, you'll want nothing else.
It won't work. I'll hold out.
Against hunger, maybe, but not against thirst. 2 days from now, you'll eat it. After all, why not? If you're going to die, you might as well die happy.
You've constructed a very tight case against me, haven't you?
I think it'll hold up. We have Fergus's dying word and the weapon which we found in the bushes between the house and your rocket. Your spare rocket control handle.
Which you must have stolen. But one thing you haven't got. That's a motive.
John, by the time we hit Earth, you're going to be a confirmed Dream Apple addict. And Dream Apple addicts don't need motive. Remember?
Randy, give me a drink of water. I'm thirsty.
Oh, awake again? And thirsty? How about a nice, juicy Martian apple?
All right, forget it. I'll die of thirst first. You'll have a hard time explaining how a prisoner came to die of thirst while in your charge.
Now, John, you don't think I'll let a prisoner die. It isn't done in the world, police. Oh, no, when you're weak from thirst, I'll just pour a little Dream Apple juice between your lips and you'll swallow automatically. It's a very easy technique.
I see. You're about 8 times as rotten as I ever imagined.
Trina doesn't think so. We're going to be married after your trial.
You filthy space rat. If I could reach
now,
you...
Now, easy, old boy, easy. You'll sprain an ankle and that chain won't break. And suppose you could reach me, I can handle you with one hand and you know it.
Maybe, but if I could reach that control board...
What would you do?
Well, that depends on where we are.
I don't mind telling you. At the moment, we're heading directly for Calypso, going to make a brief landing.
A landing? On Calypso? Are you crazy? Calypso is one vast swamp. And the swamp is full of surgeon birds.
I know. Charming fellows, the surgeon birds. 5 feet tall, shaped roughly like human beings, covered with feathers, and each one with eyes all around its head. Each one having 4 arms that end in 10 flexible tentacles. Rather startling to look at, but such interesting tricks they have.
Tricks? Their favorite hobby is to cut up space-wrecked human beings and sew them back together again, a new way. Did you read about the poor devil they gave an extra pair of arms to, salvaged from a shipmate who was killed when their scout rocket crashed on Calypso?
Of course. And I actually know a space police officer who fell into their hands. Just for fun, they mixed up his taste and hearing nerves. Now when he eats sirloin steak, he hears music. And when he hears a bird chirping, he tastes chocolate ice cream. Genius, what?
I know that Earth has warned them any more tricks on space wreck rocket men and we'll bomb their villages. But to actually risk landing among them...
Relax, you worry too much. They've promised to be good, and some of them have learned to talk English after a fashion. And they have a new hobby, raising dream apples.
Dream apples on Calypso? So that's where the supply is coming.
Yes, a nice secret little plantation. We're going to load aboard a supply, only, of course, the authorities back home are going to think you were smuggling them in.
Oh, no, Randy.
Oh, yes, Johnny boy. You're sewed up 3 ways from Sunday.
You really have me, don't you?
I think so.
I kept hoping, but I guess I'm licked. Okay, what's the use of struggling? Give me a dream apple. I'll be happy for now anyway.
Now you're being sensible. Here's a nice juicy one. Here, catch.
Okay. Just right.
Hey, if you throw that thing at me...
I'm not going to throw it at you. I'm throwing it at that little button on the board marked full acceleration. Like this.
Wait a minute.
You cut in full blast velocity. I can't move. Acceleration pressure spinning me down. We'll crash on Calypso. I know it. We'll both be killed. Anyway, I'll take you with me. To the world. And Trina. One last good turn. Come on, Randy.
I'm still alive.
fool. Can't see.
You will be distressed. Oh. It will not hurt long.
Who's that?
It is Rickrail who speaks. I'm chief of the seventh village of Quavery.
A surgeon bird. You are a surgeon bird, aren't you?
It is the name you humans call us.
Oh, no. Go away. I'm dead. I have to be dead. We hit at full acceleration.
Braking rocket acted automatically, cushioned your fall. But you are dying. Accept Rick Rill's regret.
Randy, the other man. What about him?
He is dead. His brain was badly injured.
I see. No, I'm in bad shape.
Your body is crushed. Rick Rill is so sorry. But it will not hurt long. Rick Rill will ease the pain.
I was badly crushed.
We saved you. Please accept apology. Rick Rill, very sorry.
Sorry? You saved my life.
We break the law. We operate on you.
As long as you saved my life, I'm not complaining. But what about the other man?
He's dead. We could not save him. The brain... it was injured.
So I'm alive, and Randy is dead. But I'm still framed into a murder charge.
Excuse! We must hurry away. The rocket is landing. We are going to hide. We do not want to be punished.
But I tell you, you won't be punished for saving my life.
You will be angry. So we must hide. We will put you to sleep until your friends come.
But listen, I'm
then
not...
Then you cannot tell where we hide. So we will not be punished. Apology, please. The temptation was too great. Never before has such an operation been tried.
Look, you don't make sense.
Goodbye.
If
you... so sorry we saved life. Please accept apology. Eat now, Earthman. Eat.
But if you'd only listen to me. If you'd only...
Oh, Henry.
He sleeps. Come, we must go. He'll be angry. I know he will. Earthmen get angry so easily.
Lieutenant Morgan. Wake up. Wake up, Lieutenant. Wake up. That's it.
What?
You're coming out of it. How do you feel?
You're Captain Phillips of the World Police. I know you.
Of course you do. You ought to. I'm your superior officer.
My superior officer?
Of course. What's wrong, Randy? Or don't you remember that you're Lieutenant Randy Morgan?
Me? Randy Morgan? Look, are you crazy or am I? I'm John Mallowan.
You're the one who's crazy. Mallowan is dead.
John Mallowan dead? But...
we found his grave outside when we landed an hour ago. Been searching for your rocket for days, you know.
You found John Mallowan's grave? You're sure?
Of course. We checked. See, all right. Badly smashed up from the crash, though.
But it was me who was badly smashed up. I remember. Good Lord. My hands. But these aren't my hands.
You're still groggy, Randy. I understand. It must have been rough.
My face. My hands. They're Randy's.
I better call the doctor and have him give you a sedative, Randy. You're in bad shape. It may be a form of amnesia.
No, wait. It was those surgeon birds. Do you realize what they've done?
From the evidence, operated on you and saved your life. So this time, I guess we won't punish them.
No, but more than that, that... Captain Phillips, could I have just a couple of minutes to pull myself together? Then I'll be all right, I promise you.
Of course, Randy. I'll bring you a drink. You can use one. Yeah. I'll be back in a minute.
These hands, Randy's hands. My face. My body. Randy's face. His body. I'm Randy now. Me, John Mallowan. Those surgeon birds, they found my body smashed, his brain damaged. They couldn't resist an experiment. They put my brain in Randy's body. So now I'm Lieutenant Randy Morgan, and John Mallowan, framed into an airtight murder charge, is dead. The case is closed. I guess I've got to be Randy from here on. I'll resign from the World Police.
Feeling better, Randy?
Here's some whiskey. It'll do you good.
Well, thanks. Well, I feel better now.
Good. For a minute, I was worried about you. Oh, by the way, there's a call from Earth waiting for you. I brought the field transmitter. You can talk to her here in private if you want.
To her?
I think you know whom I mean. I'll be outside. Well, bring the transmitter along in this room.
Certainly, sir. Hello?
Oh, Randy. Randy, darling, are you all right?
Trina. Yes, I'm fine.
Oh, I'm so glad, so glad. Poor John. Did he really kill Father?
Yes, Trina. The guilty man has paid for his crime.
And you'll be back soon, Randy?
As fast as the rocket can make it. I have a lot to tell you. Some things to explain to you.
I'll be waiting, darling. But, Randy, they said you were hurt. You had to be operated on. And your voice sounds different. Are you sure you're all right?
Yes, Trina. You'll find that I'm a little changed, but I think you'll like the change. The operation was a great success.
Dear me, that's the most original method of escaping from a false murder charge I ever heard of. To exchange bodies with the man who framed you. But don't try to make use of it. You'll have to wait 1,000 years before it'll be practical. Of course, if you have the time and don't mind waiting, then you... Oh, you have to get off here. I'm sorry. I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at this same time.
Have just heard The Mysterious Traveler. Now you can enjoy other tense and exciting stories of The Mysterious Traveler in the current issue of The Mysterious Traveler magazine, now available. In our cast with Chuck Webster, Gene Carson, Sidney Paul, and Robert Donnelly, with Maurice Tarplin starred in the title role. Music is under the direction of Emerson Buckley, composed by Richard DuPage. All characters in our story were fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons, the name or otherwise, is purely coincidental. Phil Tonkin speaking. This program came to you from New York.
And was transcribed.
The Mysterious Traveler, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 29, 1952, heard first on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And you're listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for an episode of Exploring Tomorrow, another Mutual Broadcasting System show. This episode heard on June 11, 1958, called Vincent Deem, 1997.
Exploring Tomorrow.
And now, here is your guide to these adventures of the mind, John Campbell.
The 2 o'clock jet from Montana has just landed at New York, bringing in some 200 passengers, including some who have come to the world's largest city for the first time. Roy Bartlett is one of these. Big strapping kid out to seek fame and or fortune. And New York was ready for him. The ancient custom of fleecing the country yokel will not die out for quite a few centuries to come. He just emerged from the port terminal and was looking around, big-eyed and confused and bewildered by the immensity of it all, when a girl came up to him.
Hello there. Waiting for someone?
Do you speak to me, miss?
That's who I was talking to, handsome. I asked you, are you waiting for someone?
No. That is... I mean, I just got here, miss. I came in from Montana on the jet plane there.
Oh. You got friends here?
I'm afraid I don't, miss. I just sort of decided to up and come to the city and sort of try my luck at it.
Well, maybe I can help you. I sort of like you.
You do?
Mm-hmm. You know, something in me wants to help strangers, to show them the ropes. And I've got free time now. I'd like to... Well, spend it with you.
Oh, you're so kind. You're so pretty.
You think so?
Oh, yes. You're the prettiest girl I've ever seen. Your smile, your eyes, you're good. I can tell you're warm and sweet. It's good of you to come to talk to me like this, to stand so close to me.
Well, I think I like you, too. What did you say your name was?
I didn't. I mean, it's Bartlett, Roy Bartlett.
Well, I'm Diana Lawson. You're big. Strong out there. Handsome.
Well, does it always happen this way?
Suppose we stop in for a bite to eat at that refresher mat and get to know each other, huh?
I think that's a wonderful idea.
You see how it works, Roy? Each drink you want, you put a half credit coin in the slot and punch out the combination.
Mm-hmm.
For a martini, you punch out 436, like it says on the board up there. Here, give me the money. I'll get us some drinks.
All right.
436. There we are.
Whoa.
Two nice dry martinis. Here, you take yours and we'll go to that table. Oh, careful, silly. Don't spill it.
Well, aren't we going to get anything to eat?
Oh, we can eat later. The occasion calls for a drink to celebrate your arrival. Here we are. And sip it this time.
Well, I'm sorry if I did the wrong thing with the drink. I just didn't know, you know.
Of course you didn't know. But you learn all these things, Roy. Where you from? Why are you here?
Well, I worked all my life on my father's farm, and he died last year and left me all alone out there. I kept things going a while and then figured I ought to try something different. I sold the farm and I bought a ticket to New York. And one-way ticket.
Ah, it must seem like a different world to you.
Oh, it does. Big and frightening, unfriendly. At least it seemed unfriendly at first. Till I met you, Diane. I can't ever thank you enough for coming over to me when I was alone.
You don't need to thank me, Roy. Just common decency to help a stranger out. Especially when he's a good-looking stranger. When are you seeing the central computer?
The what?
The central computer.
Huh?
Well, it runs New York, you know. Keeps the trains moving, the traffic lights, everything. You have to register with a computer when you establish permanent residence here. If you don't have a job, the computer will give you one. You mean you didn't know that?
I guess I hadn't heard. Well, where'd I find this computer?
Oh, just ask any policeman. He'll get you there.
Diana, you're swell for helping me out like this. I mean, I wish... Oh, there's some way I could thank you for this.
Oh, I told you, it's just common decency. Roy, the money from the sale of your farm, did you bring it with you?
You bet. Yes, sir. $5,000 in cash and the same in traveler's checks.
Oh, so much. You're carrying it around with you?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, that's dangerous, Roy. You'd better put it in the bank right away.
Well, I don't know any bank.
Oh, I'll take you to one. Come on. Unless you want another drink before we go.
No, I haven't finished this one yet. Here, wait a minute. those things taste better after you've had a few, you know?
Now, come along. I'll take you to the bank and then to the computer.
Oh, it's wonderful of you to take this interest in me. They warned me New Yorkers were unfriendly people, but they sure aren't.
Down this way. In here.
But it's dark in this... Hey!
Go ahead, Mike. Hit him!
Get away from me, you... Leave me alone!
Diana! Come back! Diana! You are Roy Bartlett, age 25, height 6 feet 2 inches, weight 185 pounds, born in Helena, Montana, 17 February 2184. Parents deceased. If any of this information is incorrect, please amend it.
That's all correct, sir.
Use of honorific titles is not necessary when addressing us. According to the report of the police officer who found you, you were beaten and robbed shortly after your arrival in New York.
That's right. She said she wanted to help me to show me the ropes in New York.
Identify more specifically the she to whom you refer.
She gave her name as Diana Lawson.
Describe her.
Oh, she's a medium height, 5'4 or so, and blonde hair. Good looking. Cute face, though the eyes are a little hard now that I think about it. She looks about 23 or so.
Our record banks hold no information on someone of that name fitting the description you give. The name was obviously assumed. Your introduction to New York life was unfortunate, but not uncommon. Do you plan to remain here as a permanent citizen?
Yes, I mean, yes.
What are your vocational plans?
I'm afraid I don't have any.
Your previous experience is wholly agricultural. This will be of little use to you in the metropolitan area. Have you any preference for the type of work you would like to do? This would guide us in assigning you.
I'd like to help people, if you know what I mean. I'd like to keep people from having the thing happen that happened to me. I mean, New York is full of confused, unhappy people who have to prey on others like the girl did on me.
You regard her as confused, unhappy?
Of course. I can't think of her as being just, well, wicked. People aren't born bad or good. They're raised that way. Maybe she could have been helped a few years ago, and then she wouldn't have to go around robbing strangers.
You harbor no hatred for the girl.
I sort of never looked at it as hatred, sir. I mean, I'm sorry, sir. I can't help calling you, sir.
If it makes you more comfortable, you may.
Thanks, sir. Well, as I was saying, no, I don't hate that girl, Diana. I'd help her if I could.
She is a warped criminal.
But is that permanent, sir? Can't she be brought in and straightened out somehow?
There is psychological rehabilitation for criminals, yes.
Well, you mean if she could only be caught and brought in, she could be turned into a useful citizen?
If she could be found in a city this large, it is not always possible to track criminals.
Well, I'd like to try to find her, sir. I mean, that's my vocational plans. I'd like to become a policeman, sir.
You will have to face psychological testing first, of course, and a training period of 6 months. But let us warn you, Roy Bartlett, if your motive in this is one of revenge, you will not survive the first battery of tests.
Revenge? Oh, no, not revenge, sir. I want to help that girl. And the others like her. Honest, that's what I want to do.
This will be demonstrated in the tests.
Do you think I'll make the grade, sir?
The tests will answer that.
But I mean, you computers can figure probabilities. Can't you tell me if...
You are most unusual, Roy Bartlett. But the probability favors your success. You will be taken to the testing center immediately. And if you are approved, you will go to the training camp.
Oh, thanks, sir. Thanks for listening to me. Will you wish me good luck?
Our data banks do not show the validity of such a wish, Roy Bartlett. But if your statements today were sincere, you should have no difficulty attaining your goal. The robot will show you to the testing center.
Of course, a computer can talk about revenge. That's a word that can be put in its vocabulary. But it couldn't understand what revenge meant. It couldn't understand human feelings of any kind. For that, human beings are necessary. For that, Roy had to be passed along to human beings who could teach him, could understand him, could help him understand himself, and find what his life work should be.
Mind if I sit down here, miss? You seem to be alone.
I am alone. Glad to have some company. Sit down, stranger.
Thanks. Thanks very much. You waiting for someone?
Yeah, I was. I don't think he's going to show up. You must know how that sort of thing is. When someone you're counting on doesn't show.
Yeah. Yes, I know what that's like, Diana. And I've been looking for you almost a year.
You know my name. Who are you?
You mean you've forgotten me, Diana? I suppose you would have. The pitiful greenhorn you picked up last March?
You. The Montana fella.
That's right. Roy Bartlett. You taught me how to drink a martini, remember, in this very place. And then you taught me what it was like to be robbed by someone you trusted.
I'm getting out of here. You can't keep me here.
You'll leave when I want you to leave, Diana, not before. Sit still. Don't make a fuss.
Let go of my arms. You're hurting me.
You just sit and try to look relaxed. Don't attract attention.
You can't prove anything. Now leave me alone or I'll call a cop.
Go ahead, Diana. Call one. Now look.
That badge. Oh, no.
That's right. I found a job in the big city, Diana. 6 months of training and the breaking in period. I don't happen to be wearing my uniform now, but the badge is real.
What are you going to do with me?
Take you away, Diana, to Psych Center, where they can help you straighten up and grow the way God meant you to. You know, girl, you really did help me, and it really was worth the $5,000 you took from me. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and you showed me how to get the kind of job I wanted.
What are you talking about?
You never done any farming, have you, Diana? Probably don't realize what a farmer's job is. Well, it's making things grow. Grow strong and right the way they were meant to. But I guess I'd got sort of tired of working just with plants.
No, no, no. They'll kill me. They'll make me into something I hate and something that'll hate me. It won't be me. I'll be a zombie or something.
I suppose it does seem that way. You never tried it the other way, though, have you? Without hate and bitterness driving you.
You mean tried being dead? No, I haven't.
No, I mean stop running and start doing what you want for yourself instead of what you think you want to do to somebody else. Now, look. We need Mike, too, your accomplice. He's outside, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's walk out together. Act natural. That's right. Just walk along with me as if I'm a rube you picked up when you're taking me down the block to that dark alleyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's Mike? Is he right behind us?
He ought to be. Mike! Mike, get him! He's a cop!
That stun gun blast ought to keep him on ice for a couple of hours. Long enough to get him down to headquarters, anyway.
I hate you. Why'd this have to happen? Why couldn't you left me alone?
I wanted to help you.
Help me. By turning me in like this behind me over at the head shrinker.
They'll heal you, Diane. Take all the bitter hatred out of your mind. Make you a useful citizen.
Who wants to be a useful citizen? I had a good thing here until you busted it up. Now they'll fix me so I'll have to go straight, be a good girl. Sell buttons on shirts for 30 credits a week.
There are good jobs open for rehabilitated criminals. Nobody will hold your past against you.
Good job. I'll never be able to go near my old friends. I'll have to begin life all over. It's somebody new.
That's right. And I'll be there to help you start all over.
You?
Sure. I'll be there to help you. I told you I owe you that. Come along now. Let's go down to headquarters.
Like to work with material things. And some can't see beyond it. When they can't see beyond material things, they're like Diane. Some people like to work with information. Bits of data. Accountants, lawyers. Many people work with data and information. So do computers. But some go beyond that and want to work with human beings. Now, some lawyers are not merely information handlers. They're human handlers. I guess Roy was one of those who wanted to go beyond the material and even the low living things. He wanted to work with humans. You see, Diane did do him a favor, and he did owe her a favor. She'd shown him what his real life work should be.
Exploring Tomorrow on Tuned to Yesterday from the 11th of June, 1958 on Mutual. And that wraps up this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.